You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Dude!
Hey, welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is great to have you here on this Thursday night as we're changing things up a little bit tonight, Greg. We've got typically the Yotterhay Triangle consists of me in Christmas City, USA, also known as Marinette, Wisconsin, you in Racine, and Dom here in Madison.
Correct.
To form the Yotterhay Triangle. Tonight,
yes.
There is no Yotterhay Triangle. There is a Yotterhay straight line, as I think we said last night. I am here in Madison with Dom Lee, and it is a pleasure to be here doing the show from Civic Media headquarters in our state's beautiful capital. How are you tonight, Greg?
I'm feeling a little lonely, I must add. I must say, once again, you are in Madison. Dom is in Madison. Our senior producer Tucker is somewhere in the Madison vicinities, and I'm just sitting here counties over by myself, the loneliest part of the Yotterhay straight line.
Well, for tonight, yeah, but you have you're in a historic radio park. There's no nickname like that here. This is just Civic Media headquarters, which is lovely. But we
Civic
don't have
Media World Headquarters? That's an amazing title.
It really is.
But it doesn't have a radio park kind of vibe where it's like, look, don't get me wrong. It's great to be here. I'm looking out at State Street. It's a beautiful night in our city's capital. We might even do a Nightlight window fun photo if we can, if Dom will indulge me after, and I can look down with my camera.
Let's do it.
So lots going
great,
on
cool.
here.
Cool. Have fun in Madison, guys. Really great. Love all of the whimsical fashion fun you're having up there in Madison right now. Hey, everybody, let's do... Oh, no, I'm by myself right now.
Well, here's what I'll do. I'll move the screen over so you're in the foreground and Dom is down on the street, and then we can all be together. That would be a very... And I'll lean into the camera.
Well, just feels like...
We'll crop you in,
We'll crop you in. It's Photoshop.
Yeah. Hey, everyone knows it's cropped now. Everyone knows it's fake.
Things are a little different tonight, but we are still going to bring you the Nightlight you know and love, folks. And it is great to be in Madison, and it is great to be on the air tonight on this Thursday with a great guest, a fun event we just started here called the Nightlight Movie Club. We will do that in hour number two.
Yes.
And our movie tonight is The Gentlemen. So if you watched it, please join the discussion. Call or text and share your thoughts. It's a Guy Ritchie movie. I watched it last night for the first time. So I'm coming into this. I haven't even had a chance to warm up, Greg, right out of the bullpen, but excited to talk The Gentlemen, as I know it's one of your favorite movies. So that should be fun.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Tonight, too, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest. We're going to be speaking to Wisconsin Watch reporter Tom Kircher. He'll be talking about an article that he wrote about data centers, NDAs, and what's happening in Wisconsin with regard to especially Port Washington, Beloit. But it's a big conversation we've been having now for about almost 2 years, and people are really starting to get hip to what's happening in their communities with regard to these multi-billion dollar projects kind of taking over. So Tom's going to be here after the 5:30 news to discuss that article and anything else that he's been hearing from people on this topic. And then, yeah, as you said, movie club in the second hour.
It's going to be great. And I'm excited to talk to Tom, too, because I have a 2-terabyte hard drive at home. And I make my wife sign an NDA not to look through it. So it's probably not exactly the same, but,
it's like a little Pete Schwabe data center.
Exactly. We all need our own little data centers. Mine doesn't take up 400,000 square feet, but that'll be fun to talk to Tom. Or scary, one way or the other. We'll have a great conversation, though. And we've also, how are you doing today, Greg? You seem like I drove 3 hours through our beautiful state to get here today. It's great to be here with Dom, but how are things in Racine?
Things in Racine are good. I can't complain. The weather is nice. It's in the upper 50s, almost the 60s today. And just kind of, I don't know, like kicking back a little bit. Worked a little from home, and now I'm here with y'all. So it's kind of just a good Thursday. The dog is in daycare right now, which, I love my dog. Anyone who knows me knows I love my dog. I love my puppers, miss her very much right now. But there is something to say about when you take her to daycare and then you go back home and you're like, all right, I can get stuff done. I can, you know, there's a little bit of relaxing. I don't have to worry about it. They got it taken care of. They're good. So, yeah, the day has been good so far. Can't really complain. You said you were in the car for, it seems like, most of the day.
3 hours. And I was running around doing stuff I should have done last night. But, yeah, I got here okay. And I will say, I hope. I hope the train catches on, and I hope one day I can go from Christmas City, USA to Madison via train, because I had a triumvirate today. Three people camped out in the left lane, would not move. And it wasn't just they were stuck. It was like they would move, and then the traffic would pass them on the right, and they still wouldn't get over. It's like, no, I just like this lane. I don't understand the rules of the road or traffic in general, so I like it. I like being on the left, and that's all I can tell you. Mm-hmm. And it's very dangerous. Like, as I've gotten older, I realize that's kind of dangerous when people don't get out of the passing lane.
Well, it's also, I mean, I don't know if it's illegal, but it's also just bad manners. Like, you're supposed to be in, the left lane is always supposed to be a passing lane. You're not supposed to spend your time in the left lane. But if you are going to, you know, it's a general idea that you're going to be going 5, 10, if you're in Illinois, 35 miles over the speed limit. Oh, yeah. But, like, an unspoken, Dom, that's true. You've driven in Illinois. You know for a fact, I was driving with a friend once. I am not kidding you. I was driving with a friend once, two separate cars. I'm in my car, he's in his. We hit the Illinois-Wisconsin border. He calls me about 5 minutes after we cross, and he goes, "Where are you?" I said, "You see that little dot back there? That's me, because you started going 85 in a 65, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm just going to go 70, 75, and you're just off to the races." But yeah, I totally understand that frustration. As I've gotten older, I tend to stay in the right lane, or if, like, on 94, it's a 4-lane freeway because, you know, that's what we need to spend our money on. I always hang out in the middle two lanes. That's where I live. That's what I love. I feel comfortable. I feel safe. I don't like being all the way to the right because it just feels like I'm going to get behind a truck. All the way to the left, and I feel like I'm in Fast and Furious. So those two middle lanes, that's my jam.
I'm with you, and I will push back a little bit on the. I used to feel better. Like, I don't speed anymore. I got a ticket when I was like 27. It cost me $200.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm done. I just don't speed. 75, maybe 77 if it's a 70-mile-an-hour mm-hmm. zone. But Northeast Wisconsin, I've been driving there the last 2 years, back and forth to Green Bay.
Yeah.
Psycho drivers, and that was not always the case. In fact, one night I was driving home. This guy passed me he must have been doing 110. My whole car shook.
Oh,
and it was so scary. I'm like, you're driving a weapon, folks. Slow down out there.
I find myself actually becoming scared when that happens. Yeah. When they're doing a, like, you know, if it's 70 miles an hour, if they're doing a 95 to 100 and you just hear that, it's like, it scares me.
Horrifying.
And so then I just, that's why I hang out in those middle lanes.
Same.
Good to go. Dom, how's your day going, by the way?
It's going pretty good. And like you're saying,
That was hesitant.
Because I'd like it to be warmer, all right? I know it's already 56, but I'd like the sun to be out a little more, you know? I'm just not a big cloudy person, right? I don't like clouds. It's just not me, you know?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
If the worst part of your day is weather.
Cut that for content. I'm just not a big cloudy guy.
If the worst part of your day is weather, though, you're doing okay.
That's true.
The stuff you can't control, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Listen, it's 20 degrees warmer here than where I came from. And that's not always the case, but it seems like it has been this whole week. So, Greg, we've got a really cool contest. I would love for you to tell people about it if you're okay with it.
I'm absolutely okay with it, especially because we remembered today. So in the second hour tonight, you have your chance to win your way into the Milwaukee Film Festival, because the Milwaukee Film Festival 2026 is coming to the Oriental and Downer Theaters this April. Actually, like, next week. Holy crime in Italy. April 16th through the 30th, their newly released lineup is available for you at mkefilm.org. And to celebrate it, we're giving away the chance. We're not giving away the chance. We're letting you have the chance to win a pair of tickets to go to the Milwaukee Film Festival this year. So in the second hour, we will give you a keyword to text in. Not coming until a little bit later, so keep it locked right here. We'll give you that keyword at the top of the second hour, but that is the Win Your Way into the Milwaukee Film Festival contest. Stick around, stay close. We have a great show for you. It's going to be really, really fun. But now that we have that announced and it's out there and we have to be accountable for it this time, my gosh, yesterday just put me into such a spiral.
We are really seriously lucky because we've got the Milwaukee Film Festival, an outstanding festival, and tonight the Wisconsin Film Festival starts. That's the whole reason I'm here in Madison tonight. So we are blessed with two outstanding film festivals, and I cannot wait to get over to Milwaukee and see some of their offerings this year.
Before we get to the big news, we got a caller on the line, Andrew from Madison. What's going on, Andrew? Are you keeping slow and keeping, you know, like safe on the road?
Oh yeah. Well, I work for DOT, and so I'm on the shoulder a lot.
Yeah, and, be careful. Oh my gosh, that's got to be scary.
Yeah,
it is. There are days it is. And today I was actually doing some things on the road, and I didn't have my overhead lights on because I didn't need them. And the traffic was doing about 75 to 77 miles an hour, according to my radar and my equipment. And then I turned my lights on, which are yellow, and the traffic all of a sudden sped up to anywhere between 77 and 85.
They went faster?
It's like you challenged them or something. My gosh.
So the law is move over and slow down.
Yeah. Yes.
They were not doing this in Washington County today.
Terrible.
Wow.
Sorry to hear that.
Sorry about that, Andrew. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate that. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you,
Andrew.
We didn't
mean to cut you off, Andrew. Yeah. But seriously, thank you for the call. People, move over. Especially a lot of you are probably in your car right now, and that is so scary when you're on the shoulder like that, whether you've been pulled over for a ticket or these guys who work out there and they're out there all the time.
The reason why we have that law is because an officer was killed. So let's remember that too. Get over and slow down. You don't have to go go 40, but just please be careful, especially when people are on the road. My gosh, I sound like my mother right now. Hi, Mom.
all
right, let's get to our three things right now, real quick.
The first big story.
So this is big news coming out of CBS News. Army survivors of a deadly attack in Kuwait dispute the Pentagon's account. Survivors of the deadliest attack here says that since the war begun, they're disputing the Pentagon's description of events and said their unit in Kuwait was left dangerously exposed when six service members were killed and more than 20 were wounded. Speaking publicly for the first time, members of the targeted unit offered CBS News a detailed account. Basically, they said that they were not ready, and because of that, these six were killed. But that's not what Pete Hegseth is spinning right now. That's not what Donald Trump is spinning. It's all victories. It's all great. It's all gravy. We are winning. We have all their oil decimated again, obliterated again. But according to these service members, that's not the case.
Yeah, they were saying that one missile squeaked through, but that's not true. Now, these service members, they spoke on condition of anonymity. It's terrible they have to do that, but they do.
Yep.
And it's CBS, so at least they're reporting this, you know. But
I'm surprised CBS is, honestly. That's really surprising to me.
My first thought when I read this, Greg, was, well, I support the troops. Does the Defense Department or War Department or whatever they're calling themselves now, does the government support the troops?
No.
You can't tell the truth? Come on.
No.
This
reminds me of the stories I heard about Vietnam when the government was saying, we're winning Vietnam. And then Walter Cronkite goes over there and gets filmed. And they're like, oh, we're doing terrible. And it changed everything. This quote is very, very important, too, before we get out of here. It's like, I want people to know the unit was unprepared to provide any defense for itself. It was not a fortified position. To me, that is the most basic of failures on the part of the people in charge of our military, putting the lives at risk of these people who are just trying to protect themselves, this country, the whole thing. And to me, I say, Pete Hegseth, what are you going to do now? I probably end up firing them because, you know, they're not warrior enough.
He's going to fire soldiers. Hey, we are coming right back, folks. We got two more big things to discuss. Be careful out there on the road. Compliments of Andrew. We know what those guys are up against.
Yes.
Great show tonight. Glad you're here. Movie Club is tonight and Tom Kircher. We are coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, you like that line, Dom?
I love it.
That's a great song. I love that Journey tune. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. Sitting sideways from me over in Racine is Greg Bach, and Dom is here with me in Madison, and we're palling around together, and we miss our chum Greg, who is probably 90 miles away, but either way, it's great to have all of you here tonight. This is the Thursday edition of Nightlight, coming to you live from Madison and Racine. We did, Greg, in all of our enthusiasm to talk about the Milwaukee Film Contest, which is great. We forgot to do question of the night, so Dom, I think we should get to that pronto.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the best advice you've ever gotten? It could be a cliche, someone just imparting their wisdom on you. I've heard tons of it my whole life, you know, people that come into your life. It could be even a stranger that just says something to you that resonates, you know, your mom or dad, whatever. What is the best advice you've ever gotten? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on the stream at Facebook, YouTube, or X Twitter, drop us a stream comment and be part of the show. That's what I say, Greg.
All right. That's what I say, too. That's because Pete said it. I'm saying it, too. Me here by myself, alone in Racine.
We've hardly talked about you at all, and it's all been positive stuff.
It's fine if you haven't. That's cool. I don't really. All right. Let's get into our second story. I'm very interested to talk to you about this one, Pete.
Yeah.
The second big story.
Okay, so, go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
No, you go for it. Like, I'm interested in your thoughts on this because just the headline of this story on the Ankler is infuriating. But go on. We're talking about AI in Hollywood.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on this. Obviously, I'm against AI replacing actors or writers. Mm-hmm. I know some scripts people say, oh, I read it. It read like AI. It could have just been a hack who was writing it. But I have my issues with the Writers Guild. I'm part of the Writers Guild and SAG, the Actors Guild, and I don't always love them, but I feel like with AI, it's almost like animation, Greg. That's kind of how I look at it. I think people want to see movies with actual human beings in them. They don't want AI. AI is like animation, and there might be a place for it. But I think the issue here is with Steven Spielberg. He made a movie about John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and he used AI tools in the film, and people are upset about that.
Steven Soderbergh.
I'm sorry. What did I say? Oh, Soderbergh, of course.
Yeah.
I actually like him better than Spielberg, believe it or not. But
whoa.
I know. Controversial. But anyway, and I know that in this new Val Kilmer movie, they recreated his image with the blessing of his estate to use a younger version of him. I think that's different. And frankly, I'm curious to see what that looks like. So I think there might be a place for AI as long as it doesn't take food off the tables of actors and actresses or writers for that matter.
Well, and that's what I'm not against AI either. I just feel like we're diving so deep into it and everyone thinks, well, we could do all these things when you could do a lot of things, but why not do a lot of things? Instead, apply them artistically, if you will. I mean, using that term, like, all right, you want to use AI. I mean, to me, like, correct me, I may be wrong, Pete, you've been doing this job for a lot longer than I have, but there's a lot of people for a long time who said CGI is the end of Hollywood. We can't have CGI in computers. Like, well, no, we can. We do. It makes a lot of money. And to a certain degree, it does work. Sometimes it does look absolutely terrible. But like any major development in technology, you shouldn't turn your back on it. You should use it. I don't know, smart, not sparingly, but smart.
Right.
And this could be what Steven Soderbergh is doing. But like in this article here on the Ankler, some guy quote tweets and says, RIP Steven Soderbergh, you had a good run. Well, I don't discount a filmmaker for using AI, especially someone like Steven Soderbergh. He's a smart filmmaker. He is not going to just say, all right, here's three ideas. Make a movie for me, computers.
Right.
I trust him to use it. I'm not going to say correctly. That's a subjective term. But I mean, I trust him to use it in a way that's going to be both entertaining, but also not take jobs.
That's very well said. I totally agree with you. And I feel like at some point it is here. You have to accept it. I'm not saying I don't want it to replace actors or writers, but I don't, you know, people are going to use it much in the way probably like they use CGI as an effect. At least I hope that's how they use it.
Me
and
too.
We'll see how this plays out. It's a good story.
Yeah. In other news, Pete Schwab's new movie has been rewritten by AI coming out this summer. No.
And it was better than my first draft, and that's what's the most embarrassing. Let's get to our third big story. It's a good one, Dom.
The third big story.
Greg, supposedly, according to Fox News, eating chocolate and cheese could help you live longer. Explain that to me.
The headline, chocolate, cheese, and yogurt linked to longer life in detailed study of 3 million people. And then it's showing Jesse Waters, you know, Fox News' version of Jon Stewart that failed, talking to what looks like an exploding tomato that is RFK Jr. Yeah, a new large-scale study says that yogurt, cheese, and even chocolate could be help you live longer. I don't believe this, Pete.
I believe the yogurt part. I know that that helps your core and gut health and all that, and we've talked to our friend Sherry Stoka about that, and I've even gone back farther with her, and she's always sworn by that, but this is a little bit clickbaity. Chocolate and cheese could help you live longer. Dark chocolate is a superfood. It can be good for you. The cheese thing I don't get, unless it's for the calcium and you eat it in moderation, I suppose, but it's a little clickbaity.
I hope it's
but
real.
But I also think that—
I hope it's real. The,
yeah, okay, Mr. Big Arch.
But the yogurt thing I don't even buy either, because there are certain yogurts that can be good for you. But if you're eating like a chocolate strawberry yogurt that's like, you know, huge, no, it's not good for you. But again, this goes back to the idea of anytime a news outlet says a study shows ... people get all excited because apparently Fox News knows health really well. So we'll know more after my great study here. I'll be eating a mountain of chocolate, cheese, and yogurt later.
We'll do our own research here.
Exactly.
Hopefully it'll pass muster with Jesse Waters.
All right. Something.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. And great to have you here, folks. Our question of the night, what is the best advice you've ever gotten? We are coming right back after the news to talk to Wisconsin Watch reporter Tom Kircher. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to be part of the conversation, call or text. The number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can always leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can leave a comment on the live stream like Tony, who says, the cheese makes you live longer because it makes you happy, and happy people live longer. That's in conversation with our blazing piece of medical news from Fox News we just talked about, whereas cheese, chocolate, and yogurt apparently make you live longer. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But don't forget, in the second hour, we will be giving you our keyword in the Win Your Way into the Milwaukee Film Festival, where you have the chance to pick up a pair of tickets for the Milwaukee Film Festival starting April 16th, going through the 30th. All you need to do is be ready, listening, locked in here in that second hour. And don't forget, the question of the night is, what is the best advice you've ever gotten? You can always text that in, or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page, or go on the Civic Media app and text us via there, because you can call, text, or leave a voice message on the Civic Media app. Download it today, because it's absolutely free. See what I did there? That's a fun little delivery.
Oh, sweet.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, let us bring on our guest this evening. He is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch. Please welcome to the show, Tom Kircher is here to talk about a very, very good article that you published last month regarding NDAs, titled More Than NDAs, Wisconsin Faces Scrutiny Over Data Center Secrecy. Tom, welcome to the show this evening. How are you? How are the Badgers doing at the hockey game right now?
Hey, thanks for inviting me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, just a few moments ago, turned off the game, but early second period, men's hockey are up 2-0 in the Frozen Four semifinal.
Nice. Thank you for that report, Tom. We come back for the news now with Tom. So, Tom, you wrote this article last month regarding let me start here. We've been talking a lot about data centers here on Civic Media for quite a while, almost 2 years now, as we've been learning more and more about them. But in this article, you talk about something even more important that's been happening behind the scenes, which are the NDAs with local elected officials. Can you talk more about that and what this article has to say regarding the people's feelings towards essentially secrecy?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You know, if you're interested, I can tell you the quick backstory on the whole thing.
Go for it.
Absolutely.
Where the story originated. So about a year and a half ago, I took a trip to Austin, you know, and the whole idea was to go see as much live music as possible. Yeah. Go to the Broken Spoke, go to Mohawk, go to Waterloo Records, did all those things.
Nice.
But also on the trip, got into a conversation with my buddy about AI, artificial intelligence. And at that point, a year and a half ago, it was very loosely on my radar, and I knew it was something I should learn about, but hadn't. After the conversation with him, it was kind of a pivotal moment. I came back to Milwaukee, started a daily calendar alert for myself. So each day I would use AI at least once for work, for pleasure, whatever it was. And over the course of the next several months, you know, that really rose on my radar. And I got to thinking, you know, as a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, I should do a story about data centers, that these are going to be huge in our lives. So I started casting about for an idea and was told about something called stranded assets. Mm. Stranded assets are power plants that have been shut down, but people like you and I, businesses, ratepayers, are still paying debt on these power plants. The story we did at Wisconsin Watch back in December was that we ratepayers owe $1 billion on stranded assets, power plants that have been shut down prematurely.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, kind of a new phenomenon for a lot of people, and data center adjacent in the sense that big push to build data centers, consequently big push to build more power plants. What happens if those things don't work out as we expect and we end up with more stranded assets? But that still wasn't a story directly on data centers, right? You know, mm-hmm. So I was still looking for that. And luckily, a Wisconsin Watch reader sent in an email with some different thoughts and questions about data centers. And he mentioned a term that you referenced, non-disclosure agreements or NDAs. And, you know, as a reporter, that sort of thing caught my attention. Non-disclosure, what's that all about? Well, it produced a story that we did back in January that said at that time, we learned that there are at least four communities in Wisconsin, local governments, that had signed these non-disclosure agreements with companies that wanted to put up data centers in their community. The upshot of those is that it keeps the details of these proposals secret. The public is not made aware. What we found in our story was that for months, or in some cases even more than a year, local governments were working with data center developers, communicating back and forth, refining plans for a data center proposal. That would go on for months or even more than a year before the community ever made an announcement, hey, there's a data center being proposed. So that was the thrust of that story.
And, you know, we've talked about data centers as far as like the size and the energy usage and all those things. But really, when it comes down to this topic, it really feels like it's more of a secrecy problem. Like it's these companies coming in saying, don't worry about the public. We'll take care of that. Just sign this and you'll be good to go. But people are caught catching wind. Then they're not happy.
Yeah, there's definitely been, you know, signs of backlash because of that. You know, what happens is, you know, a lot of people maybe were like me, like I was a year and a half ago. You vaguely have an idea what AI is. You vaguely know what a data center is. Maybe you don't really have an opinion on either one yet. But then the first you hear is that one is being planned for your community and has been in the works or in preparation for months. And so you're, you know, maybe your first impression is, wait a minute, I'm not sure how I feel about AI or a data center. I've heard some things that make me concerned. Now I find out that, you know, City Hall or the village government has been quietly pursuing this proposal that's $1 billion or more, hundreds of acres. And none of us were let in on the deal until pretty far along in the process.
Our guest is Tom Kircher. He does great work at Wisconsin Watch. We're talking to him about data centers. There are five, at least in the article I read, in Wisconsin right now, and we're discussing the NDA issue with local governments keeping this from the people that they are supposed to represent. Does that make people, in your opinion, Tom, think that there is something very nefarious about these centers that we don't know? Like, why keep it a secret? We all know AI is here. And if it brings jobs to a community, you think they'd be touting that. But the fact that they cover it up like this, and I think in Beloit, they didn't find out for a year, does that make people even more suspicious?
You know, I think it certainly has a tendency. You know, it's fair to point out that NDAs, the non-disclosure agreements, are pretty common in the economic development world. So if I come along, I'm a developer, and I approach you, Pete, and I say, hey, I want to put, you know, Walmart in your community. You know, maybe you sign a non-disclosure agreement for a limited period of time because I don't want my competitors to know where I'm going to put my next plant or store. And I don't want them to know details like how big it's going to be and that sort of thing. So the data center world certainly is highly competitive right now. And you can appreciate that a data center developer would want some confidentiality to keep an advantage over their competitors. The problem is when you're signing those agreements with local government elected officials or local government staff, you know, those people have an obligation to the public, mm-hmm. to their residents, right? And so they are signing contracts, pledging, agreeing to keep something quiet, something that's so massive. And that's not to say, well, the data centers are good or bad. That's another topic. It's another debate. But just the fact that they're so massive, so transformative, will use more power than anyone has ever seen before, use a lot of water, use a lot of land, bring a lot of tax revenue in, bring some jobs, you know, certainly pros and cons. But when those things, those discussions go on behind the scenes for months or more than a year, you know, I think the public tends to have that reaction. One example was in DeForest, north of Madison. It's important to know that not all the secrecy here involves formal non-disclosure agreements. In DeForest, we found that local government there had worked behind the scenes for about 7 months on a $12 billion data center proposal, very big. The day we published our story about these NDAs and other efforts at secrecy, the day after the story posted, DeForest dropped out of that project. So, you know, that was some indication that people certainly had some concerns about data centers themselves, but then added to that, you know, backlash of, hey, wait a minute, this has been going on and we weren't aware of it for a long time.
Well, and I understand the process of the NDA. I understand what the steps may be, but something in your article that definitely stood out was Lynn Uline, who lives in Port Washington, did a FOIA request for the information and they waited 3 months to get back to her. And then when they did, they gave her the emails that she requested, but not the attachments, saying, well, you asked for the emails, not for the attachments. And to me, taking 3 months and then being that finicky with the information seems like maybe not something to hide, but you don't want information getting out there. You're trying to keep information back as much as possible because you probably understand that people are going to be unhappy with what you've signed.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to know what the motivations are, right? But
yeah.
Like DeForest did not sign an NDA. Same in Port Washington, as you alluded to, there was no NDA signed there, but there were these other steps taken to keep details quiet. So yeah, a citizen uses the state open records law, which basically says, hey, when it comes to governmental activity, records should be open and available to the public. Mm-hmm. She asked for emails between the city of Port Washington and the data center developer. Doesn't hear anything for almost 3 months, as you mentioned, decides she needs to sue. Mm-hmm. They turn over emails to her like that she requested, but no attachments, no documents, no diagrams, no whatever might be included in an attachment. And the city's position was, well, you asked for emails, you didn't specify that you also wanted attachments. And, you know, a judge reviewed that and basically said, look, these are one and the same. If you're requesting an email, you're requesting what's attached to it as well, right? I mean, to take it to an absurd degree, I could send emails with you guys back and forth and they could be blank and all the information could be in an attachment. And by, you know, the way the city looked at it, they would never turn over anything of substance. So, it's just an example of local governments taking steps to keep things quiet, even after these projects are pretty far along.
I just have a quick question for you, Tom. Yeah. We have about a minute left before we have to go to a break, and then we can keep the conversation going. AI is kind of new, at least in terms of the fact that we need these huge data centers. Where is everything being stored now? Like, why are these on the scene all of a sudden? Is it because they're anticipating how big AI will be in the data, or is this something new?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I haven't explored that. I think you're right that it's the explosion already of AI, just how tremendously powerful it is. If you used ChatGPT or Gemini or some of these others, you could start to appreciate the computing power of that and how much more powerful it is than, say, a Google search. And yeah, it's anticipated that there'll just be more and more and more of it. And consequently, the rush, you know, to build a data center, to be the first one or build the biggest one, and a lot of competition.
When we come back, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back and speak more with Tom Kircher from Wisconsin Watch about his article regarding NDAs and data centers here in Wisconsin. If you have any questions, comments, please give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can always leave that comment on the live stream, but come back. Stick around with Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach. We are coming to you live on the Civic Media Network. I am coming to you from Radio Park in Racine and all the way at World Headquarters in Madison. We have Mr. Pete Schwab as well as Dom Lee on the ones and twos. You can be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we're going to get to our question of the night in the second hour, plus give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Milwaukee Film Festival starting April the 16th with our keyword. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. And then it's time for the Nightlight Movie Club tonight, featuring the Guy Ritchie film, The Gentlemen. So if you haven't watched it, you have exactly 20 minutes to watch the entire thing. So good luck to you as well. And then we wrap everything up with the nightcap. So stick around. We're going to have a great time. We are continuing a conversation right now with Wisconsin Watch reporter Tom Kircher, speaking about his article regarding NDAs, data centers, and Wisconsin, which, as you know, Tom said earlier and we talked about, this was not something on the radar in the past like year and a half, 2 years, and it's really come to light. And Tom, in the reporting you've done, the people you've spoken to, I hear a lot of folks who like fall into three camps. There's one camp where it's like no data centers whatsoever. Then there's some in the middle who say data centers are fine. As with this article, it's like we want transparency. We want openness. We want to know what's going on. Then there's just some folks who are like, build every data center possible. Build it on my house. I don't care. Love it. And I want to know from you, what the people you're talking to, are there folks out there who want these data centers to come into town who aren't exactly like pro? Like, it's not like, yes, Microsoft, we love it, but they see it as a boon for the community? Or is it a lot of folks in communities who just simply like, I don't know what's going on. I just hear my energy prices can go up. I hear they take up a lot of land. It just doesn't seem right. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of folks out there with a lot of opinions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of the secrecy we talked about, the non-disclosure agreements that we talked about earlier, have played into this in the sense that if you're new to this whole thing of AI and data centers, and the first things you hear about it are, my power rates are going to go up, they're going to use too much water, there's too much land, you hear lots of negatives. And I think, you know, the data center opponents have kind of captured the narrative, if you will. They've gotten out there. They set up Facebook pages, no data centers in my community. Thousands of people sign up. They hold public events. They've got Charlie Behrens, who's obviously got a big following.
Yeah.
And so you've got all these people out there raising legitimate concerns. But if it's that's sort of the drumbeat you hear and you don't hear much from the data center side, it's understandable. People would say, well, I don't think I like this, you know. But there are some points to point out. I think on the one hand, the data center folks maybe have themselves to blame in that they've really gone for a lot of secrecy and non-disclosure and therefore kind of lost the argument perhaps. But, you know, I did a story too that found how much impact data centers are already making in Wisconsin. So we have three big ones under construction, but none of these big ones are even operating yet in Wisconsin. Yeah. So people can guess how much money they're going to bring, how many jobs they're going to fill. We'll see. But, you know, the story I did was hard numbers, and just three companies in Wisconsin have already done more than $1 billion worth of business for data centers and other places, you know, providing parts, providing equipment. So there's real impact there. Just visited Grand County in the southwest corner of the state, lots of small towns, lots of farmland. you know, they're looking at potentially 50 jobs there. Now, that's a projection. Who knows? But in smaller communities, that could be a lot. The estimate there is $5.5 million annually in property tax revenue. If you're one of the school districts that's finding itself really strapped for funds, a lot of school districts are going to referendum because they feel like they can't make it as is. Mm-hmm. Those are real dollars that are attractive to people.
Yeah.
Tom, without knowing yet what the effect of the data centers will be, or, you know, I want to go back to stranded assets, because a data center is different than a power plant. You need the power plant to run the data center. But is there a fear that data centers will become stranded assets? Like, these are not mobile, or they're not hard to just pick up and leave with all the land they take up and the money and the water and all that. And it'll be interesting to see how many jobs they do produce, because it's data. I mean, I don't know, but is there a fear that these centers could end up as stranded assets? That seems like, trying to play devil's advocate, like a good thing that they won't pack up and leave.
Yeah, we don't know, right? This is all uncharted territory, not only in Wisconsin, but around the country, right? You know, how big of a phenomenon is this going to be? It's certainly, if you look at the effect on the stock market, it seems like the data centers are going to be a tremendous boon for the economy. But you're right, you know, that with this rush to build them, who knows? You know, will AI be as big as we think it is? Will we need as many data centers as we think we do? As technology continues to evolve, how's that going to change? You know,
because
you end up with a data center that's a stranded asset. Certainly, you know.
My first thought is always, you know, this data center might be, you know, X amount of size, like, you know, how many acres, how many square footage. But as technology progresses, you need less space for things. And if they're like, well, we don't need all that space, so we're going to kick on out of here. Bye, guys. Enjoy that slab of concrete. We're out of here. We're going to do something else somewhere. And that's my big concern as well. Plus what you said, like 50 jobs is nothing to sneeze at, but also like it's not a factory job. But like, we're gonna hire 5,000 people. It's so like that's the thing that keeps me worried. And I live in Kenosha, which is just by Racine, which is right by the Microsoft data center, which is a whole other conversation we can have down the road. But it's something that we all need to keep our eyes on. And I'm glad you wrote this article, because in the past I feel like a lot of great reporting coming out of Wisconsin about data centers and what's been going on, especially with regard to the NDA situation as well. So Tom Kircher is a reporter for the Wisconsin Watch. We are going to get this article into our show notes so you can take a look at yourself. Folks, if you have thoughts on data centers and this matter, feel free to contact us, text us, call us, let us know. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tom, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Hey, you bet. Anytime. Thanks for the invitation.
No problem. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the question of the night. What's the best advice you have ever gotten? Plus, we'll move into the movie club portion of the show, where we're talking about Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.